Please be seated. So on December 2nd, 2002, I stood before you in this very pulpit as your new rector. And it's kind of interesting that oftentimes new clergy have to preach on the first Sunday of Advent because it's the beginning of the year. And so I had to deal with these passages my first ever Sunday at Epiphany, as I do today as well. And I remember afterwards someone saying, you know, that was okay, but there sure were a lot of Bible in it. Okay. What does that mean? Well, dates stick in our minds because they point not only to themselves, but to a new reality. Alaric and the Visigoths sacked Rome on August 24th, 410. Mehmed II squelched the last of the Christian Empire known as Byzantium when he conquered Constantinople and beheaded Emperor Constantine the 11th on May 29th, 1453. Another Christian empire, July 17th, 1918, the Tsar Nicholas II was shot by the Bolsheviks along with his wife, four daughters, and his son. And of course, as Americans, we always remember in recent memory, September 11th, 2001. All these events were significant because they initiated a new reality. They brought in a new normal, if you will. And we may not realize it, but the coming of Jesus was and is a new reality. It was and is a new normal. When Jesus talks of the end of all things in our gospel lesson today, he's answering a question that the disciples raise. As Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, he talks about how not one stone will be left unturned as they look at the magnificent temple. And the disciples ask, when will this happen? And what are the signs that this is going to happen? And so Jesus gives a multifaceted kind of answer. So in part, he's referring to another date, 70 AD, when the temple was actually destroyed. Jesus himself predicted this. This was an event for the children of Israel that was like the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, shifting underneath and around and away from them. So it's important when you look at these kinds of passages, when we look at prophetic sayings, we don't do an end times checklist. We don't say, okay, there's wars and rumors of wars. All right, there's signs in the heavens. Okay, there's a natural disaster there. Okay, there's totalitarian government. You know, that's not how you do it. In fact, Jesus says, don't do that. Because no one knows the day or the hour. Rather, see certain things as pointing beyond themselves. The temple destruction becomes a sea change for the children of Israel. The coming of Jesus for the first time was a sea change for the world. And his second coming will consummate the most dangerous prayer that we all pray every Sunday. And some of us pray every single day. It is an Advent prayer. Because listen to the Latin. Adventiet regnum tuum. You hear the word Advent in there, by the way? Thy kingdom come. That's a dangerous prayer. Advent gives us an honest assessment of our world. It is an acknowledgement that all human desires and plans for a perfect world, as good as they might be, are not only insufficient, they are passing away. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. I started a little bit too high. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. Imagine all the people living in peace. Peace, love, and cannabis, baby. Now, Lenin does offer an interesting kind of view of what the world could be. But if you just look at the 20th century, there was an attempt to live out that very view. And it cost the lives of tens of millions of people. It can't be done on a human level. Advent is very sober because it tells us, it reminds us, there is really only one kingdom. There is really only one reality, and that is the kingdom of Jesus. I realize Advent is not a, well, by golly, have a jolly, golly jolly Christmas this year. It's not that. It points to a world that is passing away. Well, how do we make this practical for us? Bishop Robert Barron says, look at the things in our lives. Look at the things that are the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Those things that we rely and depend on. Those things that mean the most to us. Our families, our job, our possessions. Even our country, even our way of life. And then we must ask the hard question, where is Jesus in this? Where is he in your list of priorities? He must be the sun, the moon, and the stars of the world that we inhabit. This is the purpose of Advent. It is an opportunity to recollect our priorities in light of the coming of Jesus. What do we need to do to make him our all in all? If we pray for God's kingdom to come, we must prepare for it ourselves. We must prepare our hearts to make him Lord of all. Pope Benedict XVI says, if we pray for the kingdom to come, then this petition must form us. It demands that we move toward that kingdom, that we become open to it, that we accept its inner orientation. The orientation towards Jesus. Everything else must pass away. The early Christians understood, and I've given you this example many times, they understood what they needed to turn away from and what they needed to turn to. David Bentley Hart writes a wonderful passage about that. He says, in the early years when a Gentile convert stood in the baptistry on Easter Eve and before descending naked into the waters, turned to the west to renounce the devil and the devil's ministers, he was rejecting and in fact reviling the gods in bondage to whom he had languished all his life. And when he turned to the east to confess Christ, he was entrusting himself to the invincible hero who had plundered hell of its captives, overthrown death, subdued the powers of the air, and been raised the Lord of history. This is where we go in Advent. An opportunity to say, where does Christ fit? What must I turn to? What must I turn away from? Amen.